Perimeter Church has a new global outreach country of focus. Where, you might ask? France, home of some of the best vineyards in the world. The French Riviera and the City of Lights, Paris, with its famous landmarks, the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, Notre Dame Cathedral, Arc de Triomphe, and perhaps the most famous street in the world, Champs-Élysées. Well, the City of Lights is really the City of Darkness. When you speak with someone from Paris about God, it is less that they don't believe in God and more that they are disappointed in the church, which has been brought about by postmodernism, the world wars, and scandals in the Catholic Church. This has led way to over 50% of the population being atheist or agnostic and suffering from the highest suicide rate in Europe. The need is great. Most of French cities and villages have no church preaching the gospel of grace. Less than 1% of French people believe that salvation is found through the grace of Jesus Christ. And in a recent effort to crack down on radical Islam, the French government has passed many revisions to the separation of church and state, which has inadvertently impacted the way churches can raise support, do ministry, obtain places of worship, and increased the surveillance of religious institutions. The French government is effectively moving itself squarely into the position of control over the organization, content, and functioning of religious worship. But there's also some good news. Right now, a new church is being planted every 10 days, and there's now one church for every 30,000 people in France. We are asking you to do two things. First, join our Pray for France prayer team. And second, consider becoming a part of the France Go Journey mission team. Our Go Journeys will first focus on building our existing and new relationships with French churches to learn from them where we can help them. Following those Go Journeys, we'll be sending teams to help those churches with what they request.
So we're so thankful for the for James and Lindsay putting that together. And we hope we can show that in the sanctuary and upstairs in the next few months or so. But just curious, who in this room has been to France? Right. Oh, wow. Okay, fantastic. And how many of that group, maybe you didn't even go, but speak a little bit or a whole lot of French? Okay. Bonjour. You know, if you say that, you got it. So, okay, good. So, I wonder if that video stirred any questions in your mind. If anybody have a question that this presentation may be able to answer before I start speaking. Anybody have a question? If you don't, oh yes, sir. Okay.
Yeah.
What is the leading?
The number one denomination would be Presbyterians. Let's say it again.
Yeah. What is the leading denomination?
And I assume
growing in France.
Yes, I assume you mean Protestant. So yes, but we'll find out in a few minutes. So I want to know your questions, but I want to see if we can answer those through our presentation, and if we don't, just let me know. But yeah, any other questions? Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what the mission focuses?
Excuse me. Wait on the microphone, please. If you don't wait on the microphone, we don't capture it in the recording or in the podcast. I've got Oliver here with.
Well, that's all right. He's got a mic. Go ahead.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the mission focus in France, what you actually do there?
Yes, we're going to tell about that in pretty good detail. Great, great question. I love these questions. Yes, any others? Yes, sir.
I heard it's not allowed to evangelize. Is that true?
We'll find out about that too. This is not Q&A, this is Q. Okay. We will have a Q&A. After this, but we're getting these questions. Thank you, Kathy, for writing these down.
Do we have PCA missionaries in France?
Great question. And that being a closed-ended question, I'll say yes, we do. We'll tell you more about them in a few minutes. Yes, Jack.
Harry, how many churches are you in connection with at this moment around Paris?
So how many churches or ministry partners do we have, as Perimeter Church, have in France? And we're going to show you some of those pastors and churches and tell you what we're doing in our ministry focus. We got some room over here. So any other questions? Any other questions? Going, okay, gone. Okay, great. So thank you, Kathy. So Global Outreach France, or Go France, what is this all about? What we're going to talk about this morning, I might use my little, my little pointer here. We're going to talk about just a little introduction, the culture and current events, religion in France, how Go Global Outreach France started, our church, ministry partners, and then, most important, what can you do? So let's begin. France is a beautiful country, and obviously it's a destination for many, many visitors. There are over 86 million visitors to France every year coming from other countries to see all of these sites, the Côte d'Azur or the French Riviera, the Normandy, of course, Paris and other cities, and you see many vineyards, just so many things to see. And of course, everyone wants to see the Eiffel Tower, the most iconic landmark in the world. When you see that, you know it's all about France. And then we have L'Arc de Triomphe, which Napoleon had built in honor of himself. And he was not an egotist, you know. But he ushered in the first Republic of France after the French Revolution in the 1780s, and this street right here is Les Champs-Élysées, which is one of the most well-known streets in all the world, and then Le Mont Saint-Michel. That is a beautiful little tidal island that is at one time was a Catholic abbey. People live there. It's used for a center for study, and many people go there. But it's a beautiful place. I've never been there. Anyone been there? Oh, great. I'd love to go visit that. But the tidal waves come in, and it becomes an idol, and then they go back out, and there you go. And then back in Paris, the Louvre, it is a huge, huge museum. What is the most famous picture? Of course, Mona Lisa. Yeah, there are over 6,000 paintings in the Louvre, but she is the one that everybody wants to see. And actually, I was surprised when we saw her that it's very small, just a little painted on wood, just very small, so... Now, just a little bit of trying to clear up some confusion. In America, we have this famous cookie I grew up eating, the macaroon, coconut. Ah, it's so good. But the French also have their own cookie. It's called the macaron, and it's a little biscuit type with a filling and of all different flavors, and it's delicious. So when you go to a cafe in France, in Paris, wherever you are, don't ask for a macaroon. They will look at you funny and wonder, what is wrong with you? So a macaron and a macaroon. And now, don't get it confused. When you go to a bakery, don't ask for a macaron. He is the president, so I don't think he will come see you. But he is the president of France. So there you go, a little tongue twister to start our day. You know, this is there's a lot about the culture of France. There are over 400 types of cheeses. So if you ate one different one every day of the year, you'd not eat all of the different type cheeses in there. And then, of course, the wine is world-renowned in Loire and Rhone Valleys. The food is exquisite. If you've been and eaten there, I know you have. You've loved it, enjoyed it. Anybody like the escargot? Well, there you go. That is, you know, I braved it and then, oh, this is so good. So it is great to eat. And then it's the fashion capital of the world. And you know, ladies know that. So in different parts of Paris, you'll see all of these. Louis Vuitton, Dior, all of these, Hermès. So a great city to be in and to know about. So life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are the words of the United States. But in France, they actually, it's liberty, equality, and fraternity. That's what they pursue. That's really what came out of the French Revolution. But secular humanism is the dominant way of thinking in this country. And it leads to atheism and agnosticism. I don't know if you knew this, but it's the fourth largest atheistic country in the world. Now, if you were to go and ask any French person, what is your religion? Most would say, I'm Roman Catholic, but they might be an atheist at that. And all of this, the secular humanism, has left so many French people empty. Their hearts are empty. And all of the things they strive for, pleasure, food, money, jobs, sports, whatever it may be, they seek to fill that void in their heart. And because of this great lack of this emptiness, this dissatisfaction, it has the highest suicide rate in Europe. Blaise Pascal, the famous French mathematician and philosopher, he said a real famous statement: in the hearts of every person, man, women, is a what? God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. He had it right. And the French people are desperately trying to fill that void, and they can't find it. They can't find it, by the way, this government and culture is operating. Here's our president. So he's on President Macron. He's on his second term. He is a globalist, and he really wants to bring France into the global scene. He's probably the youngest president of France. Isn't that right, Davidson? Yeah. So he is in the Fifth Republic that Charles de Gaulle instituted or started in 1948 after the war. And I tell you this, you say you have a president, you have a prime minister and a parliament. That's the central government of France. But the most important person in France, in the local area, is the mayor. You cannot do anything anywhere in a town or a city or a village without the mayor's permission. Here's an example. One of our ministry partners in the city of Limay-sur-Seine, which is about 25 minutes south of Paris, a couple of years ago on Christmas Day, the mayor of all people called him and said, "Jeremy, can you Merry Christmas? Can you meet me?" And he said, "Yeah." He was quite surprised. "Yes, I can. Meet me in this park." So they met at the park, and as they were walking around, the mayor said, "Jeremy, would your church be interested in buying this property right next to this big public park?" And of course, Jeremy Deglon, the pastor of this church, said, "Yeah, absolutely, but we can't afford it. It's way out of our price range." The mayor said, "I'll sell it to you for €1. Amazing. That shows you how powerful these people are. And so we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But a lot of these mayors are favorable toward the evangelical church. Current events, this is not real, real current, But about 4 years ago, because of the high taxes and the central government of France wanting to impose a different time people could retire, they wanted to raise the retirement age. Of course, people don't like that, so they could get Social Security. They had to wait longer. They didn't want to do that. Plus, the high taxes that they impose upon the French population, because they have so many people coming into the country from other parts, immigrants, and we'll talk in a few minutes about that. And what they do, they support all these immigrants coming in, free housing, free food, a monthly stipend, free health care, and the French people don't like that. They don't want it. So they got out and began to protest. And they're all, as you notice, they're all wearing yellow vests. Why would they be doing that? Well, just before that, 2017, a woman who did not like what was going on put one of these vests on and started her own protest, and it caught on. But why the yellow vests? It's required by the French government that every person who owns a car, when you're driving, you have one of those yellow vests in your trunk. If you have car problems, you pull over, you put that on so people will see you. And so that's required for you to wear. And that's probably a good idea. So that never go over here. So so they protested, and they don't like the high taxes. If you drive around or walk around Paris, you'll probably see a protest for something. So this is an important, so pay attention to this, these anti-separatist laws. Radical Islam came in, has been coming into France for a number of years. They have their own pockets of communities that they keep their own language. They have their own schools, restaurants, you name it. They keep it, and they're really separated. They don't get integrated into the French culture. They're separated. And from those, we've had some terrorist groups form. And if you remember, in 2015, November, there was that big Islamic attack in Paris. Like 100 and something, 180 people were killed in several locations. Almost a year later, on Bastille Day, 2016, July 14th, in the city of Nice, along the coast, there was a truck that ran through and killed 87 people. These are the Islamic jihadists. So McGowan 2 years ago came up with these four laws, and the first one says any donation of over 10,000 euros must be reported to the government. Anything over that. Now think about it, if you're supporting a missionary or a church over there, your money might have to be reported. Not by you, but by the church or the missionary. We're not sure about that. A second law was homeschooling. It's outlawed. They don't want any just homeschooling. And this is especially targeted toward the Muslims. But if you have a child at 3 years old, they will be going into the French system of education. There they will learn from the beginning about secular humanism. Not about Jesus, not about the Bible, but secular humanism. So you see how they're trying to indoctrinate the population with this philosophy. The third law is that every church, every mosque, every religious organization has to register with the local government. So that if you're meeting, you have to be known and by the government. And then the last law is this. That if your religious organization, your church, your synagogue, whatever it is, teaches anything that would be against secular humanism, anything that would be considered a threat to the unity of this country, of France, they can outlaw you. They can shut your doors and disband you. And that, again, shows you the power of the mayor. Because he can come and monitor what is being taught and preached. Now think about, a couple of weeks ago, what series did we just have here? It's about marriage and the role of man and woman in marriage and in relationship. Do you think that would have been tolerated in France? Probably not. the gospel is offensive. And you're preaching the gospel that the only way to heaven is through Jesus? They can shut you down. So this is something that the churches, and we're hearing more and more from our ministry partners, are having to do. There is a great concern about this, and we don't know. Here's again the hate speech. The Minister of Interior said probably several months ago, maybe a year ago, he said the evangelicals are an important problem. So we are already in the crosshairs of the French government. So that's a great concern, and we need to be praying for our churches there in France. And we'll talk more about those in a few minutes. The question was asked, what about denominations here in France, or there in France? The predominant religion, the fastest growing religion. And if you were, again, asked any French person, man or woman, what is your religion? Do you have one? And they would say, probably Roman Catholic. And yet most are atheist, at least half the population, or agnostic. Who knows what an atheist is? Everyone know? Just someone that they say there is no God, or some variation of that. Or an agnostic would say, there might be a God, but I don't know. I'm just not sure. There's no real evidence to convince me. So, and oftentimes the French population are hostile to the Protestant evangelical churches. Now, you see this chart, you see the darker portion would be considered Roman Catholic. And again, many of those in that portion would probably be atheist. Non-religion, you see over here in the light blue. And then the green is where the evangelical church would fit in, but we're probably less than 1%. That would be identified with Perimeter Church. And the average size of the church is about 35 to 50. So we outnumber, just in this room, most French evangelical churches, just because we have a bunch of folks here and they have very few. Look at this bullet point. 35,000 cities and villages are without an evangelical church. Can you imagine that? If we were in France, Perimeter Church, we would probably have about 50 members. We'd be meeting in that storefront across the highway, maybe that ham place, whatever it is. That would be our place. I've been to a storefront French church before, and that's exactly what it is. You are in a storefront. You step out of that, and you look all around. And 5 to 10 miles away from you would be the first evangelical church. We have them on every corner here, but not there in France. So, one of the most dominant influences in all of France is the occult. Mediums, faith healers, all of these, tarot card readers, healers of some sort, whatever they have, crystal balls, they have a great influence, and they are registered, this is surprising, as with the French government as professionals. And there are more of those than there are medical doctors, more of those than there are evangelical pastors. And people go to them for marital problems, mental health problems, even physical disease and whatever kind of problem you might have, they'll go to them probably first to get help. And this is darkness. This is darkness. This is on these French people. And they don't know any better. They've never heard the gospel. And they're bound in this darkness, this chain of evil. One of our pastors, and I'll show him to you in a minute, in Lyon, and that's in kind of southeast Paris of France. And he told me there's a triangle in Europe, and one of the triangles is Lyon. The occult is powerful in that city. And yet his church is growing. But that's a huge negative, dark influence. So how about the evangelical churches in France? They're viewed oftentimes as a cult. People don't understand it. They may have some Roman Catholic upbringing and ideas, and so they can't quite fit the evangelical church into their frame of thinking. They've seen Mormons, they've seen Jehovah Witnesses and other groups, so they think we're just like that. There is one church per 30,000 people. Imagine that. One church, 30,000 people. Now, here is Le Conseil National d'Evangélique de France, better known as the CNEF. It's easier to say, CNEF. They started in 2010. What had happened was the number of churches, and I might be corrected by Kathy Clark, because Kathy spent 14 years in Paris and 28 years with World Team. So if you want to know more, ask her. But many of the evangelical denominations were separated and often looked at each other with the suspicion and just not any sense of unity. But God brought them together, and they came at a time of confession, of crying and prayer together, these evangelical, and they came up with a CNEF. It's an umbrella. It doesn't govern them, but it's an umbrella organization that helps the evangelical churches to work together. So they have a campaign, as you see here, this bullet point over here. I can point here too. 1 in 10,000. So they want to lower the ratio number from 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 10,000 churches within one church with a population of 10,000. So there are a lot of church plantings going on every day. So how did this all get started? Why Global Outreach France? Kay and I were there in 2015, almost 7 years ago, and we saw all of these cathedrals all around. You know how a church becomes a cathedral in France? They go to Notre Dame, and they get a piece of the cross of Jesus, or maybe a thorn from his crown. Now, they don't really have that. But they claim they have pieces of the cross, so they'll take a chip, give it to the priest, he takes it back to his church, and they become a cathedral. But we saw these cathedrals, and if you walk through them, they're dark. Of course, many of them were built in centuries ago, and they didn't have the lighting that we have today, but they're spiritually dark. Paris, the city of light, is really the city of darkness. So the Lord has pressed on our hearts, this is a dark country. I am bringing the light of Christ to this country. And so these verses here, the people living in darkness saw a great light. The people sitting in the shadow of death, a light dawned on them. Jesus fulfilled that in Matthew 4 from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Jesus is the light of the world, and he is bringing the light to France. He's doing that. He's doing that right now, and he can use us to do that. He's inviting us to join him in bringing the light of the gospel to these people who are in chains of darkness and desperately need to hear the gospel. They're bound to hell. And they don't know any better. They seek to fill that void of their hearts with all kinds of things. And they can't do it. You know that. Only Jesus can fill that void. And we're invited by the Lord Jesus to be part of that. So what are we doing? We're trying to connect to French churches. So for the past 7 years, we've been going to France, meeting people, meeting churches, mission groups. And then I'll give my wife this one, because I said, you know, we need to go. We need to start churches. We need to do Life on Life. We need to be doing this. And Kay said, no, we need to start praying. We need to start praying. Okay, yeah, but we need to be doing. No, we need to pray. We need to prayer is the ministry. Remember that prayer is the ministry. We don't do anything without prayer. So we started a Perimeter Church France prayer team. Again, you can sign up back there. You can get our prayer letters. We'll do that. And Bob Clark here on our team is starting another prayer initiative. You'll hear more about that later. But right now we have over 200 members in this group. So if you go to France and you ask a pastor, what can we do for you? What do you need most? What can we do? What can we give you? They'll say, pray. Pray for us. They get it. They understand it. They live in a community of total darkness, and they need our prayers. So here's some of our ministry partners. The first ministry partner that I met was this guy here, Edward Nelson. He's an American, but he lived in Paris, planted churches all around Paris. He is the Randy Pope of Paris. He is. He's a church planter. He's an evangelist. He's a disciple maker. Now, and he wrote this book, and that's a bunch of French words right there, you know. So, but there you see liberty, equality, fraternity. He's saying you can find this only through Jesus. It's the answer. And, you know, Randy wrote that book, The Answer. I thought I had a copy up here. I do. The Answer. We want to translate this into French. This needs to be translated into French. But that's a good book there. Edward was died in a climbing accident 2 years ago. It broke our hearts. So he left his wife, Laura, Nicholas, Samuel here, Alex and Lucy. And they're a wonderful family. We love them. We miss him. Etienne Coney is also in Paris. Edward's church is in Paris. He and Laurence have a church near the Opera District. And Brian and Carly, to the right here, they're from Atlanta. They work with him. Harry Noel. I love Harry Noel. He and Elisa, they are in the 20th District, or arrondissement, which is a high influx of many immigrants to this city. He's reaching out to them. And Julie McKay, she has been to this, I don't know if she's been to this class, but a lot of our members here know her. She works with a women's ministry, and she too is from Atlanta. But Harry wants to be in my discipleship group, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Susie Grommelot, best buds with Kathy Clark. They worked together for a number of years in Paris. She's been there 30 years. She has helped us immensely. She has set up meetings for us. She works at a church called Chapel de Nel in the 6th arrondissement, and she leads women's ministry. She is a hard worker, loves Jesus, and helps us so much. She's going to actually be here in Atlanta in a couple of weeks. So this is Alex Saran in Lyon. And he has a growing church. He is a PCA ordained minister. I went to his ordination exam at Briarwood a couple of years ago, but they have a growing church. One of his needs, and Harry Noel as well, they need a permanent place to worship and meet. It's hard to find churches in France because most people can't afford, most churches can't afford to buy one, and the rent is usually very high, and they need space. Harry Noel, they're busting out of his, they meet in a cafe Sunday afternoons, but they need larger space. So we need to pray for them as they look for space. So the Sarans need it as well. Pete Mitchell, PCA MTW missionary in Toulouse. Pete is very interested in Life on Life. He is joining my Zoom journey group. And I'll say this. He was in Marseille for 20 years. Now he's in Toulouse. But he will have a go journey. They had one a couple of years ago. Didn't have good attendance. But I bet you we could go over there and do a prayer walk for his city. And we can do that. We can pray. And a lot of our go journeys are going to be prayer walks. And that's one of the most important things we can do. And here's our brother, Davidson and Katie Jean-Wujui. They worked with Pete Mitchell in Toulouse. He was an intern in X and church planting. Now the Lord brought him here. Isn't that right, Davidson? Amen. He is fantastic. Yes, yes. We're so glad to have him here. Pray for Davidson. He's fantastic to be here with us. Donald Cobb. Donald Cobb is a PCA ordained minister, but he teaches in John Calvin in Aix-en-Provence. He's a New Testament professor. He too is interested in life on life, and he's going to join my group. We start next Thursday at 10 o'clock, a Zoom. If anything good came out of COVID, Zoom was one of them. You would never believe you would have a discipleship group in a foreign country. I never dreamed of that. Yet God has brought that, and these men are interested in it. Here's an interesting thing about Don Cobb. You know, Randy Schlichting, also on our leadership team here, is president of Metro Atlanta Seminary. Did y'all know that? We have one here. If you wanted to get a degree, you can do that here. But Randy likes to put those all over the world. So the other day we were talking, Randy, Don, and I were talking, Zoom. We're proposing to have a partnership with Jean Calvin Seminary in Metro Atlanta and planting a campus in Paris. Wouldn't that be exciting? A lot of our ministry partners, the next one we see here, Mike and Liz James, they've been in this classroom before, a couple of years ago. They're coming back in next month sometime. In his last prayer letter, he said, pray that we can get more pastors. France needs evangelical pastors. Don says the same thing. Pete Mitchell says the same thing. We need more leaders. And we need strong men who understand the Bible and love Jesus. So we feel like God is leading us to establish this seminary in Paris. We want to do that. Jeff Kim, he is passionate about starting Christian schools in France, which right now are legal. So that's a great ministry he has. Jeremy and Marilyn Diglon, Terry and Mary Orgault. That's Jeremy and Terry and Mary. Mary is the daughter of Liz and Mike James. And they want us to come. They want us to come do a ministry with them. And you know, one of the things that Mandy Lee is doing with us, she's going with us in October. She works with Impact, City Impact. And we're going to try to see, what does this look like in France? Right? Yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to some of these pastors, see what City Impact could be like in France. And then Benoit and Caroline Angel, they live in the 16th arrondissement, which is just west of the Eiffel Tower. This is one of the most professional districts in all of Paris. There's a high rate of money earned per capita in this arrondissement. There are 200,000 people in this district alone, and he has the only Christian witness there. Can you imagine that? We can't. We can't imagine that. That just doesn't figure with us as American Christians. Yet he's given his life to do that, to plant that church. Corneille de Bluy, he's in the Marseille area. He organized pastors from South France to come meet us back in June to talk about life on life. They're very interested in life on life. And that's because of you. You make life on life work because of your involvement and your giving to that ministry. Here's our leadership team. I've introduced most of them. Randy's not here with us. So we went in 2020 in February. I wanted to bring, I knew a lot of people, but I wanted our church to start building relationships. You can't work with people anywhere without relationships. So we started, we started meeting. You see different meetings we had. We had lunches and dinners. We met in homes. It was a great time just introducing who we are to our potential ministry partners. We went again 2 years. We got interrupted by some disease. And we went 2 years later in March and did the same thing, kind of reintroduced ourselves, meeting. And you see in the upper right-hand corner right here, we had a pastor meeting that Susie Gromelot put together for us. We had lunch and we met and we talked to them and we asked them, what can we pray for? Let us hear about your church, your ministry. What are you doing? What do you need? And so we prayed for them. We had different lunches and meetings. And right here at the bottom right, the three of us, we did a prayer walk one night through Paris. That was rich. Praying for this dark city, asking Jesus to pour out his spirit upon the city of darkness. And that's what we need to be doing. We want you to be part of that. So we went again in June to the Paris Prayer Connection, sponsored by a world team. It's a big mission organization. Kathy Clark was part of that for years. And so we would meet in big meetings. You see this top middle picture in big meetings. Pastors, missionaries would come and share about their churches, their projects, tell us what they're doing. We would have prayer walks. You see the one near Notre Dame here. We went to Jeremy's church about 25 minutes by train. We had a team from our communications department do interviews with him and another pastor. You'll see those sometime in the near future, those interviews. There's Harry Noel and Benoit as well. So that's our group that went, those four of us. My daughter, Kay, me, and Davidson went. It was quite an adventure, to say the least. So during that meeting, during that time in June, these pastors came. We met at Sammy Fukushan's church and did talked about the Paris starting life on life. Augustin Tarsi, he's an evangelist. I met him 2 years ago on Zoom with the Paris Prayer Connection. He starts this ministry called Café Anglais. People in Paris are hungry to learn English. He speaks fluent English, so he's using that, bringing people, inviting them to a cafe and teaching English with the opportunity to share the gospel. He's also a street evangelist. You see, he goes to a metro stop and he shares coffee, books, and talks to them about the Lord. Now, what he needs is this bicycle. You see, it's got a chest. And he can put all of his stuff for his ministry on the street in that. He can go anywhere in Paris because you do not want to drive a car in Paris. You'll take forever getting anywhere. But he has this idea, so we want to help him. So here's what we're doing. We have a prayer team. We're meeting people. We want to introduce Life on Life, which we've done. We have Zoom discipleship, which we're getting ready to start. We have a France ministry team, as you've seen. We have Go Journeys. So in October, our team is going to talk to all, we're going to talk to these pastors and see what can we do? What can we do? Where can we go? And what do you need most? So we're going to go, those you see right there, and talk to them and plan 2023 with them. So pray for us. Pray for these pastors, their families. Pray for growth and peace in the church. They have the same problems we do. And sometimes they're exaggerated because it's a smaller group of people. And pray for the Great Commission. If you'd like, you can make a check out to Global France, Global Outreach France. And we want to translate this book, The Answer. This is the Bible for discipleship. Insourcing. Edward Nelson and his wife, I gave that to them about 5 years ago, and he sent me an email a month later and said, this is what we need to do. He was so moved by what Randy Pope wrote in this, and now it's going to be the model of what we want to do. A lot of our ministry partners try to read the Bible with non-Christians, and this would be the perfect tool. The life issue books, the Gospel of John, and the apologetic questions that are in this would be, but we need it in French. We need some money to translate these into French. We got a lot of books. And of course, the journey books. We're in the red year. That needs to be translated. So we've got other books, like these two books that Randy wrote, The Master Plan of Evangelism. We'd love to get those. And this book called Tactics, really, how to engage in conversation with non-Christians. Okay. I've gone quickly, and I'm sure there are a lot of questions. So thank you so much. La vie pour la France. Life for France. That's what we want to do. Bring life to this country, the gospel. So we, Fritz, how are we doing? We have time for questions? He says yes.
As you mentioned, the mayors of these cities would certainly be a relationship opportunity. Particularly, I'm thinking of the very small villages. As we drove through the western and southern part of France, we went through literally, seemed like, hundreds of very small villages, maybe only 150, 200 people. Mm-hmm. If you could convince a mayor to have a home church without his interference, might be a good starting point, and maybe you're doing it already.
Well, that is a great idea, and I say no. Now, if you remember the CONEF, the campaign 1 in 10,000, they may be targeting these villages. But you're right, the mayor is critical. So we need to pray for the mayors. We don't know their names, men and women. We don't know who they are, but we can pray. God does. That would be a great prayer request. And I don't know how that could translate into some type of ministry, but yes, we need to do that.
What do the cost of translating the answer look like?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's owned by Zondervan, and they're owned by Harper and Row out of New York. I went on their website to try to figure that out, and they started asking questions I could not answer. So I don't know. I was told this, and I pray to the Lord it's not true for France. But they translated it into Cree, and it cost $90,000. And I just, you know, that's just, I don't, we've got people over there who say we can translate it. We got to get copyright stuff figured out. But we desperately need it. That book, The Answer, get it in the hands of these pastors. Let them read it. They're going to be sold. Don Cobb, Pete Mitchell, all these pastors, Corneille Duplouy, they read it. They came to see us a four-hour train drive from Marseille to Paris just to talk about that. That's how convinced they were through insourcing. Great question, though. Yes, sir.
One of your great proponents, as you're aware, this is a member of Harvesters, is Jerry Nuznoff. He's always talking to us about France and his burden for France. I don't know whether he's here this morning.
Yes, Jerry's back there.
Yes.
Jerry, raise your hand, Jerry. Where is Jerry? I thought he's... Oh, he left. Okay. Jerry and I went on the first unofficial Go Journey about 5 years ago, and we worked in one of those small villages, towns, Fermetier, and we worked, actually literally hung sheetrock, put down floor tiling, worked in that church. And the members of that church said, "You're Americans. Why did you come here?" They couldn't understand why we would come at our own expense to work. And if you go, they may ask you the same question.
Our little church in Central Florida actually started the church in Lyon that Suzanne and Alec are pastor of.
Fantastic.
And, you know, it was amazing when our Secretary of State was told by de Gaulle, "We want you to take everything American out of France." Amazing after what we did for France and Germany. He said, "Does that include our dead soldiers' bodies?"
That's sad. You know, you might find that a lot of the French are cold, but we've not found that to be true. If you're polite, if you're not loud, and if you try to dress somewhat French, don't wear a red thing or wear your football jersey. Don't do that. But if you're kind and just polite to the French people, they will be that way to you. If you ask them for help, they willingly will help you. Other questions?
Yeah. Harry, are you familiar with Pocket Testament League?
I've heard of it, but I'm
anyway, not. Anyway, this is the Gospel of John, mm-hmm. and they produce this in, I think, over 30 languages. And what you mentioned the Gospel of John would be a wonderful handout. This is already available.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, you can get these. I'll give you one afterwards.
Okay.
And you can check the back on it and, you know, email them, call them. But I'm thinking they'd probably be delighted to give you some of these to take with you.
Sure.
It fits in your pocket.
Okay.
That's where the name comes from.
Yeah.
Pocket Testament League.
Okay.
Thanks.
You know, you reminded me that when Edward Nelson at his funeral, they printed, I don't know, 1,000 French Gospels of John and gave them to all the people that came. And, you know, we don't know what the result would be, but God always sows the word. And you know what Isaiah says, it never comes back what?
Void.
Never, 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 never. God takes his word, the living word of God, the sharper than a two-edged sword, and he does his work in the cold stone hearts of people. Pray for the hearts of France that he would change them, give them the eyes to see, the ears to hear. Remember what Jesus says? A lot of times when he was teaching, he says, listen, those who have ears to hear, eyes to see, listen. And I would humbly add, and a heart to receive the gospel. Other questions? Okay, well, this will conclude.
Well, Harry, we are grateful to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
Could you close us in prayer, please?
I will. And just a reminder, please visit our table, grab some brochures, and we hope to come back at the end of October and have planned some Go Journeys. And there may be some of you who would love to go back to France and see the Lord working. He is working. I promise you that. So thank you. Thank you so much. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. You're the God of all nations. You sit upon your throne, and no one can undo what you do. You open doors that can't be closed, and you close doors that can't be opened. You open the eyes of the blind. You set prisoners free. That's why you came, Jesus. So use us the harvesters. Use us, Perimeter Church, your people, to bring the good news to France, to see people living in darkness, to see the great light of yours. Thank you, Jesus. Bless everyone here. Thank you for these people who love you, who have a heart for you, and bless them with good health and help them to follow you and be faithful in all things. And Lord, thank you so much. And we praise you, we worship, we love you. And in your blessed name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.